The truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. The hidden truth. The vital human drama of the famous lie detector. Bringing you authentic case histories from the files of the late Leonard Keeler, one of the world's foremost scientific criminologists. Mr. Keeler's real-life part is played by Hart McGuire, who reveals from week to week some of the most baffling human dramas of our time. The Hidden Truth.
Partially hidden by large trees, an old-fashioned rambling house nestles in the Pennsylvania countryside, just outside the limits of the city of Philadelphia. No one lives in this house today, and it's quite possible that it will never again be occupied. Because it's a house of doom, the scene of a bizarre murder of a young girl that took place in the west wing of the building on a stark white operating table. This ominous house of horror was once owned by a woman doctor, Dr. Letitia Graham, who used the West Wing as a combination office, sanitarium, and operating room. Living in the house with Dr. Letitia were her 30-year-old son, Douglas, and his pretty young wife, still in her 20s, Arlene. Dr. Graham had a strange complex towards their son, an unreasonable mother love that made her extremely jealous of his young wife. She made every attempt to hide this jealousy, of course, but it kept eating away at her heart. She often sat in her office late at night, brooding. Brooding.
The way Arlene looks at him, consuming him. Douglas is my son, and yet she possesses him. If only he'd asked my consent, if only he consulted me about this marriage, I would have found ways to prevent it. Now. Huh? Oh. Yeah?
I saw a light under the door. I'm glad you're still up, Dr. Letitia.
What are you doing up at this hour, Arlene?
Oh, Dr. Letitia, I've been trying to keep it from you, but... But Douglas...
Douglas, has something happened to him?
Everything's happened to him. And to me.
What is it, child? Speak up.
For almost 5 months, we got along beautifully. And I thought we'd be happy together forever. But then he started to...
Do you mean that Douglas is running around with another girl?
Yes, Dr. Letitia. Yes.
Who is she?
Patricia Armstrong. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know where she lives. All I know is her name is Patricia Armstrong. And Douglas never comes home anymore until almost morning.
You? But, Douglas, we've only known each other for 3 weeks.
In terms of love, I've known you all my life.
Oh, Douglas.
On that basis, will you marry me, Patricia?
When?
Oh, in about, let's say 2 months. I'm sure I can arrange everything in 2 months.
Douglas, if it were up to me alone to make the decision, I'd say yes, yes, 1,000 times.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me there's somebody else.
Yes, there is, Douglas. My parents.
Your parents? Well, do they still have to make decisions for you? Aren't you free, white, and 21?
I've been telling them about you, Douglas, and they want to have you investigated.
What?
Oh, don't take it personally, please, but... Oh, you know how parents are. They just want to be sure there's nothing in your past. A wife or something.
A wife? Well, don't you trust me? Don't you think it'd be embarrassing for me and for my mother if we were investigated?
Well, it isn't something I want them to do, Doug. It's just their religion. Because if you have been married, the only way I could be permitted to marry you would be in the event that your wife is dead.
Dead? Pat, I want you to do something for me.
I'll do anything, you know that, Doc.
I want you to tell your parents that you have investigated me. I've never been married. And that they have nothing to worry about.
Patricia Armstrong. Could that be the wealthy Armstrong family down on the main line?
I don't know, Dr. Letitia. I saw Em slip away with her at that dance, and I asked someone who she was. And they said Patricia Armstrong. Then I was sure that that was her name because I've heard Douglas mutter Patricia in his sleep.
Well, if she is a member of that wealthy family, you can hardly blame Douglas. After all, Arlene, you have no background.
Patricia.
And you've contributed very little to the poor boy's happiness.
What? What are you saying? I'm his wife, and what of my happiness?
Forgive me, my dear. It's a terrible thing, of course. And I'll do what I can to see him.
Oh, there he is.
Well, listen to me, Arlene. I want you to go to bed, dear. Let me handle this.
Dr. Letitia, I'm so distraught and unhappy.
Well, I have just the thing for you, my dear.
But if you're going to have a showdown with him, don't you think I ought to be here?
No, I think it would be better if you were not here, Arlene. Now, here, these pills. They take your mind off everything, and they'll let you have a good night's rest. I'm his wife. I'm his wife. Always throwing that in my face. What a stupid little...
Oh, Douglas! Douglas! That you?
Oh, Mother, are you still up?
Well, isn't that quite obvious? Come in here, please.
I was trying to be quiet so as not to disturb anyone.
I know what you've been doing.
Doing? What do you mean?
You going to tell me about it? Or must I tell you?
You know?
I know. Is it the same Armstrong family that lives on the main line?
Yeah. Oh, you love her, Mother. She's a wonderful girl.
I won't love any woman you bring into this house, and you know that.
Oh, now, Mother, let's not have another scene. I know how you feel about me, but you...
You got the note I sent you this morning?
Yes. But your notes are more like love letters from a sweetheart my age or something. Mother, you've got to realize that you must share me with other women.
Am I expected to share you with two other women?
Oh, I'm glad you're still up. I want to talk to you about that.
How do you propose to manage it?
Well, I know I made a mistake when I married Arlene. I was just plain silly over her at the time. I didn't stop to think how desperately you need money, Mother.
What?
If I marry into the Armstrong family, your financial worries will be over and...
But I'll lose you, Doctor.
No, you will not. Patricia and I will live right here and we'll bring a lot of that wealthy mainline business right here to your sanitarium, too.
Of course, you haven't mentioned the matter to Arlene. Do you think she'll agree to a divorce?
I can't divorce her, Mother.
What? Well, why not?
Because of Patricia's family. You see, their religion won't permit her to marry anyone with a former wife unless that wife is dead.
Dead?
But don't you see, a divorce would get publicity and go on record. They'd be bound to find out.
Dead.
Mother, we ran away to a little Maryland town to be married. They'd never find those records in 1,000 years.
Dad.
It'll all be very simple if you can just convince her, Arlene, that she made a mistake and that our marriage will never work. Just get her to leave town and forget the whole thing.
As simple as that, huh? Douglas, tell me, do you love this Patricia?
Not in the way that you mean, Mother. I like her and... Well, I'm looking forward to security for both of us. That's the main reason I want to marry her.
Go into town and stay at an hotel. I don't think I could manage Arlene with you in the house.
But how long do you want me to stay away?
Oh, phone me sometime tomorrow. I'll let you know when to come home.
Oh, I knew you'd do this for me, Mother.
I'm doing it for myself, Douglas.
Yes, Mother. For both of us.
Arlene,
mm-hmm.
Are you awake?
What? Oh, where is Douglas, Dr. Letitia? Did you talk to him?
Yes, I talked to him.
Is everything all right?
It will be, child. Tomorrow.
But where is Douglas? I want to see him.
You're both too upset to think of any reconciliation tonight, Arlene. Now, I don't want you to meet him tomorrow looking all red-eyed and haggard from lack of sleep. I brought you a tablet I want you to take.
All right. I'll take it, Dr. Leticia, and thank you for everything.
It was nearly daylight when Dr. Leticia Graham was aroused by a frantic knocking at her bedroom door.
Oh, here they're coming.
Dr. Leticia, help me. Help me.
What? What happened, child?
Pain. A terrible pain in my
good
spine.
Yes. Here, look, it sounds like an appendicitis. Now, let me help you into the office, dear. I'll have to make an immediate examination. Now. Just lie still. I'll be as gentle as I can.
But when you're holding this in your nose, I can't breathe.
Yeah, just a little chloroform to ease the pain. You're going to be all right, Arlene. Breathe deeply, child. Breathe deeply. Hello. Oh, this is Dr. Graham. I want to speak to Carter, please. An emergency. There's been an unfortunate fatality on my operating table.
Died on the operating table, eh?
Yeah, acute appendicitis, Mr. Graham. She died before I could as much as complete my examination.
Pity.
Well, if her husband had been home, he might have recognized the symptoms in time, but he stayed downtown tonight.
Well, I'll make out my report.
I presume you can file your report quietly with no publicity?
Under ordinary circumstances, I could, Dr. Graham, but if you'll allow me to move the body slightly...
Blood. She's lying in a pool of blood. What does this mean?
It means that your diagnosis of the cause of death is open to question, Dr. Graham. This girl has been shot in the back.
Any plans that Dr. Leticia Graham and her son Douglas might have had about keeping the son's marriage a secret were now blown sky high. Along with thousands of other readers, Patricia Armstrong and her family saw the headlines in the paper. Wife of woman doctor's son found dead on operating table. Naturally, Dr. Graham was taken to headquarters for questioning. The son was picked up at the hotel where he'd been staying. The questioning was done by Alvin Olmsted, chief investigator for the district attorney's office.
Dr. Graham, if, as you say, you examined the girl for appendicitis, it seems incredible to me that you wouldn't notice a bullet wound in her back.
I wasn't looking for a bullet wound. I placed her on her back on the table so I could examine her abdomen.
You didn't see any blood on the back of her nightgown?
It was nearly daylight. I was half asleep. I could have overlooked many things, Mr. Olmsted.
Yes, I suppose so. But the girl's bed was a pool of blood. She was shot in her sleep and managed to stagger to your room.
If you know she was shot in her bed, why are you holding my mother?
Your mother may have shot her, Mr. Graham.
Oh, ridiculous. My mother would...
If I'd shot the girl, do you suppose I'd be fool enough to call the coroner's office?
Don't ask me why a murderer does anything. Douglas.
Yes?
We're not altogether satisfied with your alibi. Can you prove that you were at that hotel all night?
Certainly I can prove it. I couldn't have left without being seen by the desk clerk. Now, could I?
I don't know. Could you?
Mr. Olmsted, you're not getting anywhere with my mother and me, and you know it.
You did have a motive for such a murder, didn't you, Dr. Graham?
Of course not. Why would I want her dead?
In searching your house, we came upon several letters you've written to your son.
What business of yours are those letters?
Mr. Graham, have you ever heard of Oedipus?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you, Dr. Graham?
Are you suggesting that...
I can see that you have. Mr. Graham, for your information, Oedipus was the son of Jocasta, queen of Thebes. Legend has it that his mother looked upon him as her sweetheart rather than her son. She destroyed all other women who came near him. Now, judging from your mother's letters to you, Mr. Graham, I suspect that she has what is known in psychological circles as an Oedipus complex.
This is absolute blasphemy. You have no legal right.
Do you think such a legendary motive for murder could stand up in court, Mr. Armstead?
That's something I can't answer, Doctor. But here's something you can answer. You were greatly surprised when Arlene came to your room this morning, weren't you?
Oh, why shouldn't I have been surprised? The girl was perfectly all right when she went to bed.
You were surprised because after Arlene retired last night, you never expected to see her again alive, did you? Did you?
I refuse to answer any more questions. I absolutely refuse.
For 72 hours, Alvin Olmsted and his staff relentlessly questioned Letitia and Douglas Graham, but neither of them would make a statement. In desperation, Olmsted wired me in Chicago and requested me to run lie detector tests on the suspects. When my plane arrived in Philadelphia, the questioning was still going on. Olmsted took me into his private office to brief me on the case.
Well, I gave you most of the facts on the way in from the airport, Mr. Keeler. But there are two things you might base your questions on.
This report on the coroner's autopsy looks interesting to me, Olmsted.
That's one of the things. The other is that we've been unable to locate the murder gun.
Oh?
It's not anywhere in the house or on the property. I can assure you of that.
Well, I'll bring it up on the polygraph and see if the suspect's fluctuations in blood pressure, pulse rate, breathing rate, and skin resistance can throw any light on it.
Which one do you want first?
Well, I'd better talk to both of them, Olmsted, before I run any tests.
They've put me through a terrible ordeal, Mr. Keeler. I haven't had any sleep in almost 3 days.
I found Dr. Graham in an extremely tired and excitable condition. I took her blood pressure and found it abnormally high. I wasn't sure just how she'd react on the lie detector. As I suspected, the moving pens which record the subject's blood pressure gave little response due to the fact that the pressure was already so high. But I was getting reactions on the other pens, the ones recording fluctuations in her rate of breathing and skin resistance. There was a definite suppression in her respiratory curve when I asked her, Dr. Graham, did you give your daughter-in-law arsenic when she retired that night?
No.
Do you think the coroner's autopsy is wrong, Dr. Graham?
Yes. I mean, if they found arsenic in her stomach, I didn't put it there.
Just yes or no, please. Did you go to Arlene's room and shoot her because you were afraid the arsenic wouldn't work?
No, I didn't.
Do you know where the murder gun is, Doctor?
No.
Did Arlene die from arsenic poisoning, Dr. Graham?
No.
Did she die from a bullet wound?
Yes, I don't know. Oh, can't you see? I'm not myself. I'm tired.
Olmsted, I'd like to suggest that you send Dr. Graham away for some sleep.
If she's going to sleep, it'll have to be in a cell.
Well, wherever it is, I'm sure she'll react more favorably on the polygraph if she gets some rest.
What did you get so far?
Well, there's no question in my mind but that she gave the girl arsenic and hoped to get a death certificate on the basis of an overdose of sleeping tablets.
What about the shooting?
Well, I'm equally convinced, judging from the lie detector records, that she doesn't know anything about the shooting.
Why, George, this is a tough one.
Yeah, I can see where it would be. If death was caused by arsenic, Dr. Graham is your murderess.
But if it was caused by a bullet wound, we can only get her for attempted murder.
Has the coroner's office determined which caused her death?
I can't be sure. They've been doing nothing but argue among themselves about it.
Well, unless they can prove the cause of death, arsenic or gunshot...
Oh, don't, Keeler, don't. This whole case is driving me absolutely batty.
I found Douglas Graham, too, in a tired and distraught condition. So tired that he talked rather more off his guard than he had previously.
Look, Mr. Keeler, just to save yourself a lot of questions on that lie detector of yours, let me tell you all I know about this thing, will you?
Well, I have no objections to listening, Graham, but I won't be convinced unless you substantiate everything by running a clear test on the polygraph.
I don't know whether Mother did it or not. I know she never liked Arlene. I knew she'd help me when I asked her to send my wife away.
Send her away? You asked your mother to send your wife away?
Well, there's no use in hiding it any longer. Patricia Armstrong knows all about it by now. I'll never have a chance in the world of marrying her.
Say, if there's another woman in this case, it's important, Graham. Now, why didn't you tell the authorities about this?
What for? You think I want them to drag a lot of innocent people into it? Patricia never even knew Arlene. She didn't even know I was married. I thought I could talk to you confidentially. You're not going to stir up trouble for the Armstrongs, are you?
My job in this case is to run a lie detector test on you, Graham. So let's go to it. I'd hardly adjusted the polygraph apparatus for Douglas Graham's test when Inspector Olmsted rushed into the room.
Good work, Keeler.
Huh? Did you get something, Olmsted?
As a result of that lie detector test of yours, Letitia Graham broke down.
What have you done to my mother?
She's in jail without bond, Douglas. Your mother signed a written confession that she gave arsenic to your wife.
No!
What about the shooting, Olmsted?
You get on with your test of Douglas, Keeler. I think you'll find the answer to that in his lie detector records.
Inspector Alvin Olmsted was wrong. Four separate tests on the polygraph indicated that Douglas Graham was telling the truth. I was convinced that he knew nothing about the murder of his wife, either by poisoning or by shooting. Alvin Olmsted had a confession from Dr. Graham, but it was only half a confession. Was she a murderess or an intended murderess? Olmsted and his men went back to work on questioning Douglas Graham and his mother. Unless they could find the gun or the person who fired it, they had an incomplete case. Awaiting further orders from Olmsted, I went out to the main line and made a call, just on a hunch. The person I called on was Patricia Armstrong.
I don't want to talk about it, Mr. Keeler. I don't ever want to hear the name Douglas Graham again.
That's understandable. I imagine it was quite a shock to you when you found out he was married, wasn't it?
I said I don't want to talk about it, please.
When did you find out he had a wife, Miss Armstrong? Was it before or after she was murdered?
Mr. Keeler, if you don't see fit to change the subject, I'll have to ask you to leave.
Miss Armstrong, I wonder if you'd consent to a lie detector test.
A lie detector test? Certainly not.
In that case, it might seem to the police that you know more about Arlene Graham's murder than you care to admit.
Well, since you put it that way, I can't very well refuse the test, can I?
No. No, you can't, Miss Armstrong.
Don't take it! He can't make you take it, Patricia.
Father!
Well, Mr. Armstrong, I imagine.
Leave my daughter out of this, sir. If you want a murder gun, here it is.
Father, why did you tell him? They would never have found out.
I couldn't live another day with a thing like this on my conscience. I didn't mean to kill her. I wanted to kill him. I found out what he was doing to my daughter. My attorneys found out he was deceiving her and had her so infatuated, I knew she'd never give him up. I had him watched and found out where his room was. I climbed the small trellis and saw that figure in bed and I shot. I thought it was Douglas Graham. I never intended to murder his wife.
Dr. Letitia Graham and George B. Armstrong were convicted as the co-slayers of Arlene Graham. Which is the actual slayer will never be known, as even science has been unable to tell definitely whether arsenic or a bullet caused the unfortunate girl's death. In that detail, the hidden truth is still hidden. As for the philandering Douglas Graham, the cause of all this grief, his lie detector record held up in court. There was no evidence upon which to convict him of any crime. But Douglas Graham convicted himself and sentenced himself to the supreme penalty. Thinking he was taking a sleeping pill to calm his shattered nerves, he got hold of one of his mother's lethal doses of arsenic.
Help me. Oh, somebody, help me.
Perhaps his mother's strange, complex call from the world beyond. Perhaps her overwhelming complex ruled her son's destiny even unto death.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording. And for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.
The Hidden Truth stars Hart McGuire as Leonard Keeler, dramatizing actual case histories.